Today's scripture reading is found in Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12. Again, that is Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by their word and testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short."
And then there was one. Happy Sabbath. It is a privilege for me to stand before you today and speak to you. I've entitled my little message, "The Beginning of the End, Time to Wake Up." Amen. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that we are living in the last days? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus is about to come? I believe that with all my heart. In the book Evangelism, page 363 and 364, it says that in the space of too many sermons, that we need to open up the Bible, text by text, that we need to understand what we believe for ourselves, that we need to understand what God has given us in these last days. Let us pray. O Father, which art in heaven, I'm so thankful that you are a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of long-suffering. But O God, there is a limit to your long-suffering. And in 2020, we are nearing that limit today. Lord, we have entered the beginning of the end, and we are not ready. I plead that today you will send the Holy Spirit from heaven. I plead that you will remove every distraction that would drive your spirit away. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that you will unseal the fountains of heaven, that you will allow us to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in proportions like the latter rain. Father, give us the last drops of the early rain so that when the Sunday law is passed, we will receive the latter rain to give the loud cry and finish the work. Father, I plead that today you will remove me. I'm a fickle, frail, foolish human being. Speak to me, speak through me, speak to us, Lord, so that we can understand that it's time to get ready. And time is running out, and whatever we do, we must do quickly. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 3 that we need messages out of the common order of things. We have become complacent in the generation where we are, where we hear messages that comforts us, but they do not arouse us for the need of preparation. Please turn with me to Ezekiel 3, verse 17. What did I say? And when you have reached there, please say amen. And it reads thus: "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me." Now, brothers and sisters, I wonder if Jesus was here today, what he would preach. I believe that Jesus would cry over our condition today because we are not heeding the warning messages telling us to get ready. There is a work of restoration that must take place in our hearts, our homes, and in our churches. When Jesus sees our conditions, he cries. Why is he crying? Turn with me to Luke 19, verses 42. And when you have found it, please say amen. And it reads thus, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee and keep thee on every side. And I will read to verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. When he cried, he was looking at Jerusalem, and he said, your house is left unto you desolate. And while men are saying, give us smooth messages, Jesus says, a storm is coming. Inspiration tells us in manuscript release page 33 and 34, it says, it is too late in the day to feed with milk. If souls a month or two old in the truth are about to enter the time of trouble such as never was, can never hear the straight truth or endure straight meat of the straightness of the way, how will they stand in the day of battle? Truths that we have been years learning must be learned in a few short months by those who now embrace the third angel's message. Now, brothers and sisters, I believe that 2020 marks the beginning of the end. And the greatest thing we need to do is we need to get to know God in a close, intimate, and personal way. Scientists, historians, anthropologists, all fields of knowledge have pointed to this time. And they look at information, they look at data, and they found that something is about to take place. A United Nations special report found that nature is declining at an unprecedented rate, which means that there is no parallel in human history where things have been dying so fast. Scientists report that every day, 200 species of plants and animals are becoming extinct. Now, if we knew the significance of what that means, it should alarm us. Scientists are relating all this to, guess what? Climate change. And that this is the greatest danger of climate change. It's causing a loss of habitat. Do you know that right now there are places in the ocean, in the oceans that are called dead zones? There's nothing there. There is no life. The entire ecosystem is collapsing right before our very eyes. We read every day, and we listen, and we watch on the TV, killings, shootings. One reporter said there are more shootings and dead people than there are days in the year. We see hurricanes. We see earthquakes. We see diseases. We see pestilences. Take, for instance, the coronavirus right now. Look at what is happening. People are afraid to travel. You don't know who has the virus. People are carrying around the virus with no symptoms. But my brothers and sisters, these are signs of the time. And Jesus has warned us that these things would take place. Everything that God says would happen is happening now. Everywhere we turn, we see the handwriting on the wall. Politically, economically, socially, religiously, environmentally, every field of knowledge points to the fact that time cannot continue much longer. And Satan is turning all his attention on this generation because he knows that this is not the first generation. He knows that this is the last generation. And the oft-repeated text, but never too often, found in Revelation 12, verse 12. Will you turn with me to Revelation 12, verse 12? And when you have found it, please say amen. And it reads, "Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and he that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath." Why? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Satan knows that he has but a short time to prevent God's people from understanding the death, burial, and resurrection. And now, the high priest that has gone into the heavenly sanctuary, he tried to stop that two brothers and sisters. He know that it began in the outer court. He knew that the outer court was the beginning. He knew that the holy place was the middle. And he says, "Three strikes and I'm out." So he's trying to stop the work in the most holy place. And my friends, he's doing everything in his power to take possession of our minds. And he's doing a good job. And so he develops every device to try to take up our time. You know why? Because he understands that in order to have a relationship with Christ, it takes time. So he gets us so busy that we will not have time to be holy. We will not have time to talk to God. We will not take time to make preparation. The devil does everything to keep us distracted. And you know what the prophet says in early writings, page 519? That Satan well knows that those he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of the scriptures will be overcome by his attack. And so he invents every possible device. Now, how can someone wonder if Sister White was a prophet? I mean, never has there been more truth in a day. We look at our cell phones, what do we call it? Device. We look at our computers, what do we call it? Device. We look at our iPads and all our electronic gadgets, what do we call them? Device. And scientists and sociologists tell us that between 8 to 15 hours of every young people or adult life today is spent on some gadgets. And we must have some time to sleep and work or school or whatever, and that means we might have 5 minutes to spend talking to Jesus every day. How can we give the devil 10 to 15 hours of our day and give the lovely Jesus 5 minutes? And we think that we will have an opportunity to develop in us a relationship that can stand the test of time. We have to spend more time thinking of Jesus, drinking of Jesus. The devil's agenda is to destroy God's church. And he says, if I can destroy the home, I have already destroyed the church. And you know what he does? He creeps into the homes of husbands and wives. He gets them to bicker with each other. He gets them to fight and complain. He gets in between parents and children and causes problem after problem. Brothers and sisters, we need to get back to family worship. We need to get back to spending quality time down on our knees. Remember when Jesus was on earth? He was without sin. But yet he spent so much time with his Father communing, because he knows that's where we're going to get the power from. As Brother Paul always says, more prayer, more power. The devil has invented a thing called social media. And social media has power over the minds of so many that we have no time to socialize with Christ. But let me tell you, the devil is tricky. Folks who use social media every day are the most anti-social people you can ever find. Gone are the days when you can sit in a public area or sit beside somebody and have a conversation. Everybody's like this, on their gadgets. No time to commune with somebody beside them. Gone are those days. The devil tricks us. He traps us. He dupes us. And God is saying, wake up. And you know what? The devil already knows that his time is short. The demons know that their time is short as well. If you read in St. Matthew 8, verse 29, will you turn there with me, please? St. Matthew 8, verse 29. And it reads, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So this passage of scripture is showing us that the demons knows the time. Even the Pope knows the time. In Time magazine, the Pope says, his tenure may last less than 5 years. Quote, he says, I feel like the Lord has placed me here for a short time. It's amazing, brothers and sisters. The devil knows that he has a short time. The demons know that they have a short time. The Pope knows that he has a short time. And yes, Seventh-day Adventists, we don't know. We need to wake up. Amen? Brothers and sisters, can you imagine hearing the words on the day of judgment in Matthew 7, verse 23? I never knew you. Depart from me. He don't just say, I don't know you. I never knew you. So the question is, how can we get to know God? Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And brothers and sisters, I believe that if we know the time, we will know what to do. And if we know what to do, we will become friends of God. And how do we become friends of God? In John 15, verse 14, it says, "He are my friends if he do whatsoever I command you." Amen. So we realize that in this time, in order to know Jesus, we need to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with him. That means 5 minutes a day won't cut it. We need to spend quality time, communion with our Father. We need to search the scriptures for ourselves. We need to get our children and our family and have worship. Brothers and sisters, the handwriting is on the wall. Let's set our houses in order. Let's get back to know God in a close, intimate, and personal way, so that we can be sealed, so that we can finish the work, and Jesus can come. The story is told of a young man who grew up on a farm with his father. And this young man loved farming with his father. Every day he was with his father up and down in the field going. And so the parents of this young man realized that, you know, this child has potential. They want him to go to a college to get a degree so that he can come back and do wonderful things for this farm. And so they watch him develop. And when it was time for him to go to college, this young man didn't want to go. He said, "Father, I'd rather stay here with you. I want to stay here with you and work on the farm." But Father said, "No, you must go. Go get a degree and then come back and you will work the farm and you will be good at it." And so the father and the mother prepared the son, took him into the big city, got him into this college. And, you know, he looked strange because he was coming from the country and in his old clothes and whatever. And the father left him there and he said, "Son, don't forget me, okay? Write to me every day." He said, "Yes, Father." And so the father left him. And the son, he would write to his father every day. "Father, it's strange here in this city. It's strange to see all these people live. I can never imagine that people could live like this." And every day he would write to his father. Every month after month, he would write to his father, telling his father what's going on. And his father and his mother was so excited. Eventually, he started writing less and less. And the father begins to wonder until there was nothing coming from the son. And the father said, "Wife, I must go and see what's happening to my child, to my boy, to my son. I have to go." And the wife said, "Okay, Father, go and see what's happening." And the wife prepared food for the wife and the son, and she said, bring him back to us. And so the father, he jumped on his horse and he went, and he rode and he rode and he rode, and it was a long journey, and he went. And when he went, he jumped off his horse and he started looking. He said, "I have to find my boy. I must find my boy. I have to find my boy." And the rest of the kids, they saw this old man beaten up, eaten up. They said, "Who is this old man? Where did he come from?" And he's looking for his son. And then he heard a familiar voice. He said, "That's my boy. That's my boy." And then the son turned around and the father says, "Son." And you know what the son said? "Who are you? I never seen this old man in my life." And the father held his head down and he said, "Sorry, I thought you were my son." And the man, he got back on his horse, this father, And he rode home tirelessly. He didn't stop with the food and everything that the wife has prepared. And he went home. And he sat on his rocking chair. The wife saw him, he didn't say anything. And he sat on his rocking chair. Tuck, 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 tuck. The rocking chair is going. His heart was so sad. Tuck, 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 tuck. Until eventually, the chair stops rocking. And the mother comes in. Husband, what's the matter? What's wrong? He's on the floor. The father died. He died. And she called the doctor in, and the doctor came in. And then, you know, and then eventually an autopsy was performed. And you know what? The father died of a broken heart. Do you know that it would break God's heart if you and I are lost? It would break his heart. Let us endeavor today that from this day forward, we are going to have a close, intimate, personal relationship so that we can finish the work, Jesus can seal us, and he can come back and take us from this world. This world that is full of sin and sorrow and pain, there is nothing here for us, brothers and sisters. This world is not our home. We are just pilgrims passing through. Let us get ready to meet our Maker. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your presence today. And as we leave this place, but not from your presence, help us, Lord, to look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, and to realize that the journey is almost over.
Amen. Amen.